From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Monday morning here in the Clark Ford Studio. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Ole Miss beats Arkansas 37-33, outscoring the Razorbacks by a pretty good bit after being down by 17 points at one time in the first half there in the game. Ole Miss and Auburn this Saturday, 11 a.m. It's Jay Tate week at Funky's on Thursday night. Kind of Jay Tate week in general as the Rebels and Tigers getting together here soon as well. We'll go over lines today. We'll hit on a little bit of Ole Miss and Arkansas. We covered 30 minutes of that and an instant analysis directly after the game. So check all the places you get your podcasts. Look for that one if you have not already. And you'll get a half hour of pretty much all game analysis there inside that, as well as plenty of content at rebelgrove.com. Neil's 10 thoughts with tons of stuff in that. A lot of opinion on the goings-on around Ole Miss right now. I had a look at Phil Longo, what we believe is his best drive of the season, the one that set up the 97-yard final drive, actually, where Ole Miss went 84 yards in 10 plays to cut it from 9 to a one-possession game. So that's up there on the site, as well as much, much more. Russell handling recruiting and whatnot. And when you come in this weekend, make sure you follow the Oxford Exxon on Twitter. They'll have Free Gas Friday on Friday. They'll give you a category, whatever the topic is. Send a GIF, be funny, be creative, and a free take of gas before you leave town. 49-cent bottomless refills and much more there with the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. Just get a quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote. See if you can get a better deal. You won't, but you can shop it if it'll make you feel better. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many others, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy, and he'll prove that to you. 662-257-1900. Tell him you heard about Clark Ford on this podcast, on the Beer Garden, or on the greatest pod in the South, and you'll save $500 off the already great bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory.
You made a good point this morning on the message boards. We're getting to go in here. One of the dumb aggregate sites doing something this morning about Ole Miss and the injured quarterbacks and whatever, which was a note we pointed out on a Saturday night. But, you know, I think the NCAA thing, I think all the things that have kind of happened to Ole Miss over the last couple of years where they're constantly butts of jokes and in the middle of this colonoscopy, after doing a pretty good job of it in 14 and 15 when they're winning a lot of games, being nationally competitive, going to the Access Bowls, stop caring what somebody says. They think, whatever. At the end of the day, Ole Miss won a game on Saturday. You got a W next to your name, and you move on to the next week. And, you know, we always talk about, was last week a must-win game? Is this week a must-win game? You know, we think there's not really a must-win game except for maybe some recruiting momentum as a collective for record, not necessarily one game. That kind of goes for everything. Saturday night, seniors that have been through a ton got a great moment on a field, on an opposing field. You got to win. You broke the Arkansas crap that's been going on since 2013 or whenever it was that Arkansas started winning these games in 14. Play Auburn. Do the same thing. I mean, Matt Luke, I mean, as cliche as it does get after a while, talks about 12 precious chances and opportunities and stuff. But it is. It's 12 shots to win football games. Ole Miss isn't going to a bowl. So get as many wins as you can. Have some good moments. Forget what anybody else says and move on with your day at the end of the day. That's all it's about.
Yeah, the last 2 years could have been, this one and last year, could have been abject disaster.
And they're not. They're fine.
It hasn't been. So just chill.
Credit to your program that you're 6-6 last year and whatever you end up at this year, because, frankly, there's a lot of places where – hitting just the negative stuff with all of it. Now, we'll see what next year brings. But all the negative stuff for the last few years would have thrown a 3-9 in there in a hurry. And that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Who cares what Saturday Down South says?
For the or Dan Wolken or
yeah, well, that's Bulldog Boner Toilet. I responded to Wolken because I thought it was a cheap shot. And I explained in 10 thoughts why I thought it was a cheap shot. It's more than about – and I shouldn't have done it because I get the whole hashtag not a fan thing.
Why does it bother you at this point?
It doesn't. It's more of an annoyance than a bother. It's – I don't care. I realize you can't change anybody's opinion, and I really don't care what anybody's opinion
is. I think they do it because they think it bugs you. I think it's literally a sport at
no,
this point.
I think the state people do it because
do you really?
They – yeah, absolutely. The state people do it because they desperately want it to be that way.
That's fair.
I'm surprised more state people aren't a little bothered by the fact that, like, Campbell would have really looked at Mississippi State, I think, had it not been for just how goofy their fans are on Twitter towards their dad, her dad. I mean, I think it's a turnoff to her. Anyway, I think they want me to be a fan. That helps them justify their feelings about things. My deal with Wolken, quickly, is he and a lot of national people are just ignoring this deal in Manhattan. It's just like, man, you and I talked about this. It's like it's not happening. And if you believe these people are taking the stand and telling tall tales under oath, forget the whole, well, you know, someone told me, well, not everybody believes in God. I said, okay, that's not the point.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about the under oath part, just that they're lying in general.
But if, Chase, you get caught lying under oath in a federal court, you can go to prison for lying under oath.
No, I agree. I still think the majority of people lie under oath if they're lying anyway.
Yes.
I don't think that actually changes much at all.
I don't believe these people are lying. I think they're absolutely telling – T.J. Gasnola, for example, is telling the truth.
No, they're not lying.
He's proud of it.
Yeah.
He's telling the truth. Now, do I think kids should be paid? I absolutely do. Do I think a kid should be – if Adidas wants to pay DeAndre Ayton $200,000 to wear tennis shoes at the University of Arizona, I say give him the money. I don't have any problem with it. But as of this moment, that's against NCAA rules. And so when you're a Dan Wolken in a position like he's in with a platform like the one that he has and you just act like that doesn't happen and you can't take a step back and go, wait a minute, so hold on. This stuff's going on and I'm not offended by it. Yet when I look at what allegedly happened at Ole Miss, there's not a lot there compared to that. Nobody got anything. Nobody got anything like what Lamar Peters got at Mississippi State. Nobody. Laramie Tunsil kept a car too long. The other kid whose name escapes me right now kept the car too long. A loaner car.
Yeah, C.J. Hampton had something to do with
it. C.J. Hampton kept the car for an extra week or something. Laramie's dad – or stepdad, or whatever he is, got $700. $700. Lamar Peters got $2,500 a month, Dan. I mean, that's my problem, is that nobody's willing to come back and go, so wait a minute. I spent a lot of my professional career taking marching orders from an attorney in Little Rock over offenses that really don't compare to what's being discussed in a federal courthouse. And so that was my point. And then my second point was, when you act like a child about it with the, whoops, never mind, like a seventh grade girl would do, you're failing to understand one of the real flaws in the NCAA process is that the people who ultimately pay the penalty didn't commit the crime. The people that ultimately pay – people go, well, Hugh Freeze got off. Let me say this to you. Hugh Freeze got off because Barney Farrar took the fall. Why Barney Farrar took the fall, I'll never know. I'll never get it. And in fairness, I've looked at Barney Farrar square in the eye and told him, I don't know why you're taking the fall for him. But he did. It's some old code, and I'm not making fun of it either. Whatever. That's something Barney's got to live with. Barney Farrar and I spent a long time him not liking me. Because he was told by that coaching staff not to like me. And then when we got to know each other, he kind of liked me. And you know what? I didn't like him. And by the end, I like Barney. I like Barney a lot. Barney's a good dude. I wouldn't do what he's doing. I wouldn't take the fall like he did.
No, there's a certain honor that he is.
I would have told the NCAA precisely where the marching orders came from. He didn't. That's his decision. He paid the consequences for it. When people say, why did Hugh Freeze kind of, quote, get off, end quote, that's why.
You know, this is hurting Jordan Tamu. It's hurting those guys.
And that was my point.
That's who it's hurting.
That was my point, is that there's no, as a national guy, and look, Ole Miss hadn't won a sixth game yet, but if
they're
they do.
They're probably going to.
Probably will, and if they do, they would go to a bowl game. It might be the Independence Bowl. I'm trying to think of it. It's the walk-ons something. Independence Bowl. Yeah, it might be that game. I don't know. I don't know where six and six.
Yeah, who cares where it is? But it's
whatever.
Two straight years with Jordan Tamu not doing that, whatever that is.
And in this particular season, it would be fitting for a kid like Jordan Tamu to be rewarded
and get an extra game
by going to a bowl game.
Yeah,
because the kid is going to leave Ole Miss as a borderline legend. He should.
Now, as time goes on, you're going to look back and go, wow, that kid.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, Jordan Tamu and a lot of these kids, that was my point in 10 Thoughts. A lot of these kids would have been excused. I wouldn't have faulted them. Now, a lot of alums and fans would have. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have faulted any kid who said, you know what, man, I want to go play for a championship somewhere.
From a lighting up record book standpoint, Greg Little, A.J. Brown, and Jordan Tamu are not going to go to any bowl games during their careers.
Right. And all three of them could have and – some people would say should have. I won't. I say do what you want to do. When it comes to this, I'm very consistent. But I would not have faulted Greg Little if he had said, you know what, man, I'm going to go play at Alabama. I'm going to go play at Ohio State. I'm going to go home to Texas and play for the Horns. I would not have faulted him. I'm in the minority. It's not popular to say this. I don't fault Shea Patterson for going to Michigan. Notice I didn't talk about his dad. Mm-hmm. But I don't fault Shea Patterson for going to Michigan. I don't. I don't at all. I don't fault Deontay Anderson for going to Houston. I don't fault Van Jefferson for going to Florida. I don't. But these kids who stayed, when you celebrate as a national media member, and that's what I took it as, celebrate that they won't get to play in a bowl game, I think it looks petty and small. That was my point. My other point is that you're a national college football writer, a national college football columnist. On a night when half of the top 10 goes down, on a night when the almost certain Heisman winner at this point in the season tweaks a knee, on a night when national programs such as Michigan and LSU get statement program-defining wins, on a night when Jim Harbaugh, who went into this season a little bit embattled, gets this massive win. On a night when Shea Patterson plays perhaps his best game as a college player. When Ed Orgeron gets his biggest game. On a night when Michigan State comes back from the dead to upset Penn State in Happy Valley. On a night when all of these things happening, you're talking about a team that can't go to a bowl game beating a 1-6 Arkansas team. And a 1-6 Arkansas team that beat, who did they beat at the beginning of the year?
Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, a team that has only beaten Eastern Illinois.
Lost to Colorado State.
Yeah, a team that lost to North Texas, lost to Colorado State, and got is winless in the SEC. You're talking about that game? No, you're obsessed. You have a problem. On a night when all of the other things happened, all of those things happened in that day. On a night when he sent that tweet out, USC was in the process of knocking off Colorado. There were other things going on. It's obsessed. And he's mad. Ole Miss fans, I think, went after him way too hard when you get into things about his personal life that you don't know and is none of your business. When that kind of thing happens, it gets personal. And when people get personal, sometimes you have a hard time letting it go. But when you're the national columnist for USA Today, you have to let it go. There were other things to talk about that day.
Michigan did just completely dominate that football game.
Michigan played a great football game. We're on our way to having a very compelling playoff. Alabama, probably Clemson, probably Notre Dame, and whoever wins the Big Ten.
What is the deal with Tagovailoa? What's the injury update there?
I don't think there is an update.
He's fine?
Probably okay, is what I've heard, but who knows? I mean, they play Tennessee this week. If they're smart, they probably just let Jalen Hurts go play. They don't need Tua to beat Tennessee.
It'd be an interesting move. A
couple people I've taken shots at. I'm going to give my apologies now.
Who?
Ed Orgeron. I've made fun for years. Ed Orgeron is becoming the poster child for second chances from learning from your mistakes. His team, maybe, including Alabama, is the single most emotionally and physically and mentally prepared team in the country week after week after week. They don't have letdowns. They absolutely dismantled Georgia on Saturday. Just dismantled them. That's apology one, apology two.
They know who they are right now.
Well, and they're very consistent.
Yeah.
And apology two goes to Jeremy Pruitt. His team rolled into Auburn and played with a level of intensity and confidence that Auburn simply could not match.
No, they've played very intense. They've played very confident all year. They're not very good, so there's a limit to it. But what they did, and it's also, you know, it's very similar in some ways to kind of what, they're not going to win that many games, but kind of like what Hugh Freeze did in 12. It's, hey, let's show up every day because there's going to be a couple days where the team on the other side's got some turmoil too.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we can pop them. It's what they got with Auburn and Arkansas in 12 with Hugh, what they almost got with A&M too.
Yeah.
And it's that deal where it's, hey, just keep – it's why he was so emotional last week. It was, hey, just keep coming because I know what the schedule's showing. There's going to be a game or two here where, you know, and suddenly you go on the plains and – that win over Auburn looks and feels so much better than it was in reality, given where Auburn's program is right now. But that doesn't matter. It's just a huge win, and you move on to the next week.
Thought they had a real good game plan against Auburn, too. They did not ask Guarantano. They did not ask him to do anything ever, not one time, that he wasn't capable of doing. And they used those big physical receivers that they have. They have some really tall physical receivers, a lot like Ole Miss, really. And then on defense, man, they dialed up one blitz package after another. It was a very good defensive game plan. You to beat Stidham, you have to pressure him. And when you pressure him right now, he's so in his own head that he's a mess. And, man, they pressured him all day. And Auburn dialed up, much like Arkansas did against Ole Miss, Auburn dialed up a couple of ridiculous trick plays that Tennessee said, no, we're going to blow that up. Much like Ole Miss did.
No, I mean, look, Chad Morris or Joe Craddock or whoever's calling plays over for Arkansas, I don't know who does it, whichever one, that quarterback throwback was the play of the game.
Stupid.
Because Story was in a little bit of a rhythm there, and you almost got him killed.
Stupid.
I mean,
it was so stupid.
Because it was telegraphed the whole time, too. Like, as soon as the wide receiver or running back caught that ball, you went, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, because it's just this floated ball back across the field. And, I mean.
Well, and then Story not getting out of bounds.
Stupid. Get out of bounds.
Or get down.
Yeah.
Get down. Because, frankly, get down. Run clock.
Yeah.
It was, instead, you got knocked out. And it was weird. But, you know, the teams that don't know how to win.
They do stupid stuff.
They don't know how to win.
Yeah.
It's why I'm complimenting Tennessee today, because they kept coming, and now they won one. And they won't beat Alabama, but they'll be dangerous now at the end of the season. In fact, I think they'll get to 6.
Same publication Dan Wolken works for writes that
writes
about Scott Frost's buyout yesterday.
Oh, my God. I
saw
that.
6 games into the first season, calls him embattled.
You should
took
be,
over a crap program.
You period. Should be proud of me. You know what? Because I dialed up the "Are you?" But I let it go. I said, "No, you're giving them what they want because they want tweets."
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nope. Unbelievable.
It was sheer clickbait.
Let me tell you how embattled Scott Frost is. None at all. Now you want to see embattled? Come to Vaught Hemingway on Saturday. The Auburn coach
embattled.
Is embattled. I put it in 10 thoughts. I think it's thought number 2. I linked Jay's story. I copied and pasted the first few paragraphs of Jay's column from Auburn's loss to Tennessee about the state of the Auburn program today. No matter what you think about Jay, if you're one of those people that's hung up on the Cam Newton BS, okay, I promise you he has his finger on the pulse of that program. It's a fascinating read. An Auburn loss Saturday to Ole Miss I don't know that Gus Malzahn can survive it.
Even with it being $15 million in 30 days.
Yeah.
What's the booster dynamic over there now? I know Louder's not what
I'm
he
not
wants
really
to
sure.
What is it?
I'm not really sure. One thing I noticed at Jordan-Hare the other day on TV, and it was an 11 a.m. game, blah, blah, blah. Man, I covered Auburn for a long time. I didn't see many empty seats when I covered Auburn. I saw a lot of empty seats in Jordan-Hare.
It's not going to be a fan base that travels over here much this weekend. It's not going to be a fan base overly excited about the game. In some ways, there'll be a certain group cheering for Ole Miss just to end the misery for them a little bit, I think.
I guess it is such a bad time for that program to go through a downswing like this because the team in Tuscaloosa is not going through a downswing. And that team in Athens, I know they just got popped, but they're recruiting at a really high level.
Surrounded by really good programs.
And now Dan Mullen's got it going at Florida. He does. Absolutely does.
Pruitt's going to at least recruit well into the season.
Pruitt's
going to
recruit well. The two programs in Mississippi are solid.
Yeah, they're fine.
I don't know.
And A&M's doing whatever A&M's doing.
I just don't know where Auburn gets its players right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just don't know that Auburn goes, who does Auburn hire? How attractive is that job? The money makes it attractive, but they're not going to be able to go, hey, we'll give somebody $9 million a year. No, you can't because you got to pay the old dude. I mean, I promise you, like Jay wrote, they're hanging on to hope that Gus can fix this financially.
Alan Green's their AD now?
Alan Green, the former Ole Miss assistant AD.
Yeah, I know.
But if Jay and I talked about this on Greatest Pod in the South, where we were talking about the Auburn-Tennessee game, and you know, Jay said he did not think Auburn could cover that line last week. He goes, I just don't know that they can score that many points on anybody. And he was right. Tennessee covered the line quite easily, in fact. And he made the comment, if Auburn loses to Tennessee and Ole Miss,
he thought
that might not be survivable.
Yeah.
And here we are. And look, for Ole Miss to beat Auburn, it's not a complicated formula. I just gave it to you. You have to be balanced on offense. Quarterback run is something that hurts Auburn. Throw to big physical receivers downfield. We'll find out more about DK Metcalf's status this morning. And then on defense, and this is the problem. This is the problem. You have to get them into second and third and long, and you have to pressure Stidham. Stidham's not as bad as everyone's making him out to be. He's in his head right now, and he doesn't handle pressure well, and he makes mistakes. I'm not as convinced that Ole Miss can create the kind of pressure that is needed to make the recipe come to fruition.
Yeah, we'll continue that in a second. First, today, the podcast is brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. Check out what all they have going on the calendar of events. You can find that out at visitoxfordms.com/events. A few highlights. Double-decker bus tours return this Friday at 2 p.m. That's 2 p.m. for every Ole Miss home football game. October 21st, the Wizard of Oz is at the Ford Center. October 23rd, the Oxford Art Crawl. And then October 27, 28, 26, 27, whatever that weekend is, the Chucky Mullins benefit run is that weekend as well. The Great 38, that's a 3-mile run, an 8-mile run on Saturday, and then a half marathon, 13.1. On Sunday, you can find out more there at thegreat38.com as well. And then every single Thursday night, Thacker Mountain Radio broadcast in front of a live audience at 6 p.m. at Alp Square Book. So, again, that's visitoxfordms.com/events.
On Saturday night, I wrote a column. That column was sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. They're also one of the sponsors of this here podcast. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states, founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. at Pinnacle Trust. A box is built just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. My 10 Weekend Thoughts are up at rebelgrove.com. 10 Weekend Thoughts are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in the Oxford area for the past four decades and then some. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. You can send me questions on rebelgrove.com or on Twitter for my mailbag. That'll be brought to you on Wednesday. It is sponsored by the Westin Jackson. Check out Soul Spa. It's the spa located in the Westin Jackson. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy. G&M in Oxford on South Lamar Boulevard. It is time to get a flu shot. If you haven't done that, they have walk-ins welcome Monday through Friday. If you have insurance, $0 copay. If you don't, it's still just $25 to take care of that with your flu shot. So give them a call or head on over to G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. Yeah, you know, look, a lot of Auburn's problems, Stidham's whatever. They don't have that dynamic running back that you usually associate with Auburn every single season. And then on top of that, their offensive line, especially on the outside, is bad. Their tackles are not good. They are allowing tons of pressure. And I guess that's the one solace for Ole Miss is, yeah, you absolutely have to you have to put pressure on them. Their defensive line's been a little more active in recent weeks. I think some guys have done a pretty good job there. Kadir Shepherd has rushed the quarterback better than his acting skills over the course of the last 10, 14 days. So they've done some good work, but that's going to be the key here. It's going to be finding a way with really upfront pressure without having to blitz and leave even more of an island or anything else for the defensive backfield than the shape it's in right now. It's on them. If they can get pressure and they can get to Stidham and keep him into a funk, they've got a really good shot at winning this thing. Because like you said, I mean, Tennessee had wide receivers similar to Ole Miss that gave Auburn fits, and there's no doubt that Ole Miss has a much better quarterback than Jared Gontano. So, I mean, that's the thing to this. I don't think it's overly rocket science. And then Auburn has got a sideline that does not believe right now is having some infighting in their locker room and probably waiting on something to go negatively for them to continue that trend. So we'll see what Saturday brings. We'll get into lines in a minute as well. I'll pull those up now. Let's see. Neil's all excited about Georgia State and Arkansas State on Thursday, getting a little Fun Belt action in the conference from with ULM.
I can honestly say there is literally a 0% chance that I will see one snap of that.
That they'll even put it on.
They could put it on, and I wouldn't look up.
You wouldn't put it on.
Oh God, no!
I wouldn't even.
Oh no, no.
The only way you see a snap is that we're at Funky's and we're still talking, and it's just on a TV, and you glance up.
Yeah, and even then I kind of catch myself. No, I don't, that does nothing. The people that are that, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm because I'm that way with the NBA. Now that the NBA starts tomorrow night, getting me to watch a midweek college football game, it better be damn good.
There's no line yet for Tulsa and Arkansas. I'm assuming that's because of Ty Story's health at this point.
Well, I would think Story and then both of the tailbacks.
Yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, that's really one we didn't give a lot of credence to. That kid had 109 yards on 7 touches when he left the game.
He was crushing Ole Miss's defense.
Yeah. Injuries killed Arkansas on Saturday.
Well, I mean, thank God nobody got seriously injured. I've talked to people about that turf in Little Rock. It's disgraceful. They don't need to play games there. I know they have a big alumni base in Little Rock. I get it. I'm not an Arkansas person. I don't know. You've got a beautiful stadium in Fayetteville. It's gorgeous. It's one of the prettier stadiums in the league, really. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'm all good there.
Play there. There's lots of parking. It's a nice place to go to a game. It's hard to get there. I get it, blah, blah, blah. But once you're there, it's a nice place to go to a football game.
I mean, could you imagine if Ole Miss still played half their games in Jackson?
No.
I mean.
No, God, don't even, don't, no.
Don't give that idea anywhere.
I'd be upset if they played one game in Jackson. And there's no difference between War Memorial and.
No, very similar.
It's the same deal.
Veterans Memorial.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the name.
Yeah.
Vaught Hemingway's nice. Reynolds Razorback, is that what it's called? Is nice. It's really nice. It's a nice stadium. I was up there just a few weeks ago. It was an off date, but I mean, they were on the road. They were putting in the statue that everybody was talking about. We saw them putting it in with the big hogs and the water coming out of it and stuff. It's really pretty. Mm-hmm. There's lots of parking. War Memorial, there's no place to park, just mud.
Tailgating ruined the golf course.
Yeah, just stupid.
Auburn and Ole Miss, you know the line, no reason to guess.
It's gone down.
Yeah, it has. Opened at 3.5. It is sitting somewhere between 2.5 and 3 right now in favor of the Tigers.
Ooh, I don't know, man. It's what we guessed the other night. We guessed around 4 points.
Would you like the odd shark prediction on this game?
Yeah, sure, why not?
You know, they predicted a pretty heavy Ole Miss win, and actually looking at factors and stuff, Ole Miss dominated most of that game on Saturday. Odd Shark Analytics is predicting an Ole Miss 35-28 victory over the Auburn Tigers on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you're betting the Ole Miss-Auburn game, I've said this before, I really mean this. You either know something or you have an addiction or you're emotionally hedging. And whatever, I'm cool. Do whatever you want to do.
I would take the Ole Miss money line for the better odds. If I had to take if I had to do something on this game, I'll take Ole Miss to win straight up at 1.5 to 1.
Here's my thought on it from a betting standpoint. I don't know how you can bet on Auburn not knowing what their emotional status is, and I don't know how you can bet on Ole Miss after watching their defense week after week after week after week after week. I don't know. I mean, Ole Miss is going to give up 500 yards because they give up 500 yards to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So Arkansas ran for 299.
Yeah, I mean, come on
Saturday.
Come on.
With a third-string running back doing at least half that damage.
Yes. I mean, Devwa Whaley had a huge night, and he lost his job in Fayetteville. So, the whole, boy, the defense really sure buckled down. Okay. I give up. I mean, that's emotional. Or that's media kissing ass. It's one or the other. I don't know. If you made me bet the game, I guess I'd bet Ole Miss, but I wouldn't put anything on this. Nothing. Really, no outcome would surprise me. My only fear from a betting Ole Miss standpoint would be that they can't pressure Stidham and he gets comfortable and starts to build some confidence and make some throws.
It's an interesting thing here. Almost kind of pushing people toward Ole Miss a little bit. The juice is extra ramped up if you bet on Auburn on the -3. You know, typically it's -110, meaning you pay an extra 10% in.
Yeah.
It's an extra 25% juice.
Why?
If you pick Auburn. I don't know. I'm looking at it here. If you take Auburn, you've got to bet 125 to win 100. And if you bet Ole Miss, you bet 100 to win 105.
Huh.
So they moved it a little bit, even the juice even on the line a little bit.
Encouraging people to bet Ole Miss.
Well, at least making it more valuable, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting deal. Oklahoma and TCU. TCU smarting after the loss to Texas Tech. Oklahoma -9 in Fort Worth for that one.
That's the other apology I owe Cliff. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
He's been all right.
I was wrong.
He's done a really good job with the other quarterback.
He's proving to be a very good quarterback's coach, if nothing else.
He's going to have a job in college football for a long time.
Or he can go into modeling.
Well, one or the other.
He is a nice-looking guy.
He is.
I looked at him in person and was ready to get out of the same room. I felt quite inferior.
Did you really feel uncomfortable?
It is one of those deals when you're in the room with a really good-looking guy and you look like me, yeah, you want to get out of that room as fast as possible.
Don't need any comparisons being made at that
point.
Well,
you know that no one's making comparisons. Just you know in your own head you are completely out of your league and need to get the hell out of there.
Okay. Wisconsin's going to get healthy after getting demolished by Michigan. They stay home or go home or wherever they were last week against the Illinois Illini. They're 26-point favorites in that one.
Illinois, man.
Yeah.
Weird. Bad. It's weird bad that they're that bad. Team. It's weird they're that bad.
Didn't Ron Zook like carry them to a pretty substantial bowl game one time?
Yeah. Yeah. Just weird that Illinois is that bad. I've been on the campus. It's okay. Champaign's okay. You're a couple hours from Chicago.
Shouldn't be that bad.
It shouldn't be that bad.
Paying Levy Smith a ton of money.
Yeah, more than $5 million.
Yeah, ton of money to suck.
Weird. Shouldn't be that bad.
Another big one for Shea Patterson in Michigan this week. They are 5-point favorites in East Lansing this week. Michigan.
What time's that game?
That game is at 11 a.m.
Ah.
So you can watch it in the press box if you'd like, but it's at 11 a.m. this weekend.
That might be a good game.
Northwestern is going to beat Rutgers in Piscataway.
Hell yes, we are.
Weekend. Minus 21 for the Wildcats and the Scarlet Knights. Going on down the list.
Northwestern, he's taking them to another bowl game this year. They're going to be 7-5, 8-4, and back bowling.
Syracuse is going to get its fifth win of the season at home against North Carolina and Larry Fedora this week. They are 11-point favorites over the Tar Heels. Duke is an 8.5-point favorite at home against Virginia this week. Scanning through it a little bit still. Where's the other SEC games? Got a lot of action going on. Actually, a lot of games we don't have lines on yet. Alabama, Tennessee, no line as of right now.
Because you don't know where the two is playing.
Yeah, so no line on Alabama and Tennessee as well. Washington's a 16.5-point favorite against Colorado this weekend out in Pac-12 land. Texas Tech going to get another win. They are at home against the Kansas Jayhawks this week. They're 18-point favorites against Kansas. Clemson's a 17-point favorite over NC State. That's a really big line, even though it's in Death Valley there. In Clemson, Florida State's a 10.5-point favorite against Wake Forest at home in Tallahassee. Penn State, a 14-point favorite on the road at Indiana. La Tech, a 25.5-point favorite against UTEP. Just kind of scanning through still. Let's see. Kent State, who Ole Miss has played a few weeks ago. Akron, a 3-point favorite at Kent State. Russell will be very invested in that one this weekend. The battle of whatever the world that is a battle of. Here we go. Memphis on the road in Columbia, Missouri. Missouri hosting Memphis. Missouri is opened at 6.5, now sitting in between 8.5 and 9.5-point favorites against the Tigers.
I don't know how Memphis bounces back emotionally from the game that they lost on Saturday. They dominated the first half. The rain came, and they freaked out in the second half and blew it. I mean, I'm hosting radio in Memphis. I'm hosting the Gary Parish Show 3 days this week, so I can't say on the air what I want to say, which is they choked against UCF. Because there's so much – you talk about a market where you almost have to be a homer or else, so I'll just say nothing.
In Memphis?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't get it. I don't know how emotionally they get over that. I don't know what Missouri's got left in the tank. Although Missouri is – it's becoming a trend. Not getting humiliated by Alabama is a moral victory. And teams bounce back pretty easily. Like, I thought Arkansas played pretty well against Ole Miss. I mean, they weren't –
They don't know how to win.
Yeah, they don't know how to win, but they played. They came, bounced out of the gate, jumped up 17 on Ole Miss, looked like they were on their way to a big win.
Yeah, Story was good. Story played well.
Yeah, I disagree with Jeffrey when he says Story is awful.
He's okay.
He's okay. He's an average SEC quarterback.
Yeah.
He can't make the deep throw, but he's very good underneath.
That was the biggest mistake of the night for Arkansas. Cole Kelly's had some experience. I mean, he did it against Ole Miss last year. They just took the ball out of his hands. Threw four passes once he came back in the game.
But that last pass was why they took the ball out of his hands. The receiver's open.
Oh, wide open. He threw it 20 yards over his head.
I mean, that's a 30-yard gain on that play if it's a good throw.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, he did make a really good throw that got dropped by the receiver because he made the mistake of hitting him in stride in the hands.
Yeah.
That's why before everybody does this, boy, Ole Miss's defense stop. I'm not going there. I'm not playing this game anymore with people. Ole Miss's defense is very porous. There were plays in the first half where the Arkansas receiver caught the ball on the hog. And that Arkansas's hog that they put on their field is massive.
It's a big hog.
It's like 30 yards long.
What's a hog, not a pig?
And it's 20 yards wide. Seriously, it's massive decal in the middle of the field. And the Arkansas player caught the ball like in the middle of the hog, like sort of in the hog's belly, and there's no one else on the hog. He catches the ball, and if you take a still shot, you're like, oh, he's out there taking a selfie. It's media day. There's no one around on the hog. He's just running. I'm like, come on, man. There's one play, Ryder Anderson's in coverage. Coverage out wide. How does that happen? I'm sorry, but man, I'm not picking on anybody or anything like that, but the people that act like one win fixed all, your offense is really good. I thought Longo's fourth quarter play calling was absolute genius. I thought it was genius. I thought between he and Jordan Tamu's pocket presence and feel for the game, I thought it was as pretty of a fourth quarter offensively as you'll see. I'm just not willing to give the same credit on defense.
You know, I went back and watched a lot of the last two drives, the last three or four drives as I was trying to dissect it yesterday, and I'm sure it was because of an Arkansas deficiency. I was watching it going, why in the world didn't they bring pressure at some point? They stayed back the entire final two drives. Never came after Tamu at all. Just kind of put a limited box there, stayed back, played some coverage, and let him pick them apart. And a couple of the underrated passes that Tamu made that nobody's really talking about is his awareness and kind of arm strength to get the ball out quick to the sidelines when defenders were kind of shooting up the field, and if that ball doesn't come out as quick as it does, it gets knocked down a couple times there, and they got big plays, or at least to stay on schedule. They had those 2 8-yard throws to Lodge on that one drive that set up second and shorts as they move forward. Mississippi State at LSU this weekend. Bulldogs and Tigers in Death Valley. That's a 6 o'clock start to that one. What do you think the line is, Mr. McGrady?
Tell me again where the game is.
It is in LSU. Bulldogs, Tigers, LSU.
Yeah, I'm going to guess LSU is a 7.5-point favorite.
It's pretty much where it is in state. It opened at 7. It's anywhere from 6.5 to 7, depending on your favorite book currently. So,
be a real challenge for Ed Orgeron this week.
Get these guys back up.
Yeah, now they've got an open date next week, and that's going to help him.
State does not match up well with LSU at all.
No, not at all, because you've got to be able to throw the ball to beat LSU. I feel good about this because I always make fun of my football knowledge.
Yeah.
The Georgia quarterback, whose name is escaping
Jake
me.
Jake Fromm.
He's not good.
No, they've been limited. It just finally caught up to him.
He can't make throws downfield.
They're not making the championship game.
No.
Not sure they're getting in the playoff.
I'm not sure how they got there last year.
Well, they're not getting in the playoff because they're going to lose to Alabama later.
I think last year those two running backs just carried them.
Yeah.
This year they don't have it. Listen, Georgia-Kentucky is going to be an interesting football game. I think that game's in Lexington. It's going to be an interesting football game. No, LSU can line up and stop the run if they know it's coming. They're physical. Devin White's damn good. Devin White was great the other day, man. Delpit,
I think we all knew he's going to be all right.
Yeah, is it Delpit, the kind of the safety that comes up and
play some corner too?
Yeah,
he moves around back there.
Physical back there.
Grant Delpit.
Yeah. Their front's getting better. Made some plays the other night. And they feed off the crowd as much as any team in the country. It'll be rowdy there Saturday night. No, I like LSU in this game. I give Ed credit, man. Again, He just kind of has a feel. I think he's learned a lot. And the people that go, well, he should have gotten more time at Ole Miss. No, look, this time at Ole Miss was an abortion. It just was. It was awful. It should have never happened. He should have never been hired.
3-21 in the SEC.
He wasn't ready for the job. Robert Kiat's ego got away from him and made a hire. It was a bad hire. But Ed's learned a lot, clearly. I think he showed – if there's anybody that questions themselves, it might be SC for not giving him more time. But it's not Ole Miss.
It's interesting, yeah. Finish up lines in a second. First, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. It understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down options. So give Jason a call at 662 662- 234-2704, or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys you'll never forget, or maybe you've been thinking about that anniversary trip that she'll never forget, whether you've dreamed of playing St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. Why use John? Well, he's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before he got into the travel business, so he knows the extra attention that's needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. Okay, so here's how this works. I was telling Chase about this the other day. This is really kind of cool. This isn't your typical travel agent. He can be your typical travel agent. But where John is really good is, let's say Chase and a group of his golf buddies decided they want to go on a golf trip. They want to go play golf someplace for 4 days. And they've got a budget of $1,200 each. Instead of saying, okay, we're gonna go to Whistling Straits, they should call John and say, okay, here's what we got. 4 days, about $5,000.
You tell us.
Give us some options.
Yeah.
And what he'll do is he'll put a list of trips together. Okay, well, you could go to X, and this is what you'd have. Or you could go to this place that you may never have heard of, and let me tell you what you'll get. And then the guys can decide, and they make their trip, and they go get away from the women for 4 days and hit golf clubs and drink a bunch of whiskey. It's up to them. But that's how it works. So call him at 901-494-3387. You have nothing to lose by asking him to research it for you. JEdwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, go to Grenada Nissan. They've been great friends of this website, great friends of this podcast for more than a decade now. I've done business with them on numerous occasions. Trust me on this. You can take my word for it. They're fantastic. You're going to get a great Nissan product. The service is wonderful. They're fantastic people, and it'll be a really good experience. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Oh, gosh. All right. I was reading something funny on Twitter. I'll tell you in a minute. Okay. Let's see. You know, Southern Miss, 18-point favorites against UTSA this weekend. Frank Wilson, talk about 1 year later being stuck. And if anything, in trouble there, if anything else. So, I mean, man, just we say this all the time. When you, with those small schools, when you get a chance to get out, go. Get anywhere. Go.
If there's a
unless it's UCF or like Arkansas State during that little heyday period right there where you go, maybe get out.
If there's a life lesson that you can take from this program,
go.
When you're hot, strike.
Yeah.
You will not stay hot.
Yeah. When you got it rolling at work and you go, hey, right now I could probably get a raise, go get the raise.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk into your boss's office strutting a little bit and go, hey.
You're valuable? Yeah. Go in and go, so here's the deal. That's how that works. When I was in Mobile, I knew I'm winning awards. I'm breaking stories. It's time to go. You won't stay hot forever. Stripper stories will not continue to fall in your lap. Go while you got a chance.
You really missed a free pass on what's one of the strangest interviews you've ever had, and you did not mention a stripper story.
Yeah, I think it's because we've talked about it so many times that I just...
Still the answer to the question.
It is the answer to the question. The strangest interview that I've ever done was with
a stripper
while she was dancing, because she knew that if she stopped dancing...
You were going to get beat up.
That I was going to get beaten up, and that she was going to have to move to another table. And truth is, she wanted to talk to me because probably in the course of an evening, her typical evening, talking to me was probably a refreshing change.
You finally found a female that really enjoyed your conversation.
Listen, think about that. In my entire life, I finally found a woman who, with most of her clothes off, wanted to stay in my company and talk to me.
Yeah.
How about that?
That was not believable to 18-year-old Mr. McCready.
Hell, it's not believable to 48-year-old Neil McCready. But that couple of nights, women with no tops on, wearing G-strings, wanted to stay in my presence. I mean, that just doesn't happen to me much.
We saw these people in person. How slow is Texas State, the Bobcats? They're 11-point underdogs to ULM on Saturday.
Yeah, ULM bounced back from the Ole Miss game with a pretty commanding victory over somebody.
Who'd they beat?
Coastal Carolina.
Who used to be a 1AA team.
Well, they're not anymore, so.
Baseball national title.
Damn right.
The Chanticleers.
Warhawk fever.
So the Warhawks played the Roosters.
They did.
Okay.
They did.
Mythical Roosters.
Mythical Roosters.
Literary Roosters.
Versus Hawks of War.
Literary Roosters.
Texas State's bad, I guess. I don't know.
We sat by their rivals, people at a conference one time for some reason.
They were okay.
Yeah, they were all right.
They were fans.
Yeah, I had no issue with them.
But whatever.
Yeah, they were fine.
Harmless.
Yeah. Vanderbilt at Kentucky this weekend. The Commodores, who had a commanding lead on the Gators before, not only blowing the game, but blowing the cover as well on Saturday.
Well, give Dan Mullen credit. Dan Mullen knows point spreads. And covers point
spread. He does no point spread.
He does.
There's no doubt he's got in his mind what the point spread is.
No doubt. He understands that if I make my alums money, they're going to hang on to me a little longer.
Now, trying to potentially fight Derek Mason is not one of Dan Mullen's better looks because he was going to lose that altercation.
Yeah, he made sure that he apologized quickly at midfield after
the game.
So
you think he was apologizing or do you think they were cussing each other while smiling in each other's ears?
No, I think they were actually apologizing.
Do you really?
I do.
You don't think it was that, hey, you kind of, okay.
I think Mason would have drilled him.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Dan Mullen's got that face that you really kind of want to punch it sometimes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And so if he's doing that in your ear, you really
want to
push
him. No, I think it was, hey, I lost my cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My fault.
My bad.
Yeah.
I think you do a hell of a job. If they fire you, I might need a coordinator. I'll pay you a lot of money.
What's the line?
It's in Kentucky. Kentucky got a week off. I'm going to guess Kentucky is a 12.5 point favorite.
The line opened at 13 points. It has
Damn.
Now been moved. If there was like a way to gamble picking the lines, not actually picking the games, you'd be in much better shape.
I have the strangest talent. It's an utterly worthless talent.
Because you suck at the game.
And I suck at everything else in life, but I can predict a betting line with the literal best of them.
You could be an odds maker.
It is the damnedest thing.
Opened at 13. It's come down a little bit, sitting between 11 and 11.5 now, depending on what's going on for you.
I like Kentucky in this game. Kentucky watched Georgia get beat, and Kentucky goes, ooh, wait just
All of a
minute.
Sudden,
wait a minute. We got a chance.
Just got to win.
I mean, if you're them and you watch A&M win, you go, you know, we lost in overtime to them at their place. Georgia just
okay.
got whipped. We're okay.
Got a shot here.
Well, they do. I mean, let's talk about the rest of their schedule for a minute because I find Kentucky interesting.
When's that game? Yeah, you really do.
I don't know. Maybe because I kind of like the underdog. I cheer for Cinderella. Kentucky has at Missouri after this, Georgia at home, at Tennessee, Middle Tennessee at home, at Louisville. Dude, they got a chance. They should beat Vandy. They should beat Missouri. Georgia's a tall order, but I'm telling you, it's doable.
Georgia's going to play a style of game that keeps Kentucky in that game.
Yes, so you have a shot. And then the next, they got to go to Tennessee. Whatever. And then the rest of it's Middle Tennessee and Louisville's a walk in the park. I mean, dude, they've got a chance to be the team that loses to Alabama by 5 touchdowns in Atlanta. They've got a chance.
And they'll take that all day and celebrate it going out the door.
Oh, absolutely. SEC runner-ups, 10-2 going to the
– They'll get an access bowl.
Maybe the Sugar?
Sugar, Cotton, well, I don't know, whatever the non-playoffs are this year.
I mean, and as long as there's no conflict with basketball that day, there will be a massive crowd. They'll travel a ton of people.
Now, if the basketball team plays like Kansas that day.
Or if the basketball team plays like Mississippi Valley and Rupp, no one's going to go. But if there's no conflict –
Hey, could y'all just send us in whatever bowl game the basketball team's playing in that city that day? That'd be great. Can we do that?
And Mark Stoops, listen to me. Mark, listen. Listen to me. at the end of this season, Mark, if it goes the way that I'm starting to think maybe it goes, you have to do one of two things. Get out or get every dime they've got.
Get paid.
Go get paid.
Get basketball money.
Yeah. Do one or the other. Do not go, hey, you know, this was great, man. I love it here. This is, no. Go get your money somewhere. Can you imagine how long is the rope if he takes Kentucky to the Sugar Bowl?
As long as he'd like for it to be.
Literally, it's like, hey, man. Because
he's not going to completely bottom out. They're going to go 2-10 5 years
he's kind of built the program.
They're going to win 5 and 6 and 7 and whatever. College game day headed to Pullman on Saturday. Washington State and Oregon. Washington State a 2-point favorite. And that one, actually, that line's flipped. Opened at 2 for Washington State. Now it's 2 for Oregon.
Oregon's better than Washington State. Oregon's good.
Ohio State plays Purdue in West Lafayette this weekend.
Michigan-Ohio State's going to be a hell of a football game, y'all.
Yeah. Ohio State minus 14 against Purdue in Purdue. Yep. Let's see. Switching on down. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Only one more even kind of major line, USC and Utah. And that is the Utes giving the Trojans 6.5 in that one in Salt Lake. Is that right?
Yeah.
Know where they are?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Then a lot of other games with no lines. Baylor, West Virginia, no line. Huge loss for West Virginia losing to Iowa State last week.
Iowa State's good. You and I talked about this. They're good for one of those every year. Guy's a good coach, Campbell.
He's going to be somewhere in the Big Ten. He's going to stay Midwest. It's got
that's his area.
Yeah, it's got Big Ten feel to it for me.
If Illinois came to him and offered him $5 million, should he take it? Or should he say, no, I'm going to wait for a real job? $5 million, a lot of money.
Is that my only option?
For this.
Anyone else.
For this argument, let's say it is.
Would you take Illinois or Indiana?
Ooh. What's Tom Allen doing there? Is he in trouble?
They're okay, aren't they?
I don't know.
Like, sort of, kind of okay?
See, I haven't watched much Big Ten this year. I feel like I've kind of let it go.
Indiana is 4-3.
Okay, so he's fine. I don't know. I mean, I've been to Champaign once. It's just kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's like this big farmland, and there's a campus in the middle of it.
Indiana or Illinois? Both jobs are there. They're both offering you $5 million.
I guess Indiana.
Why?
I don't know.
What's your reasoning?
I don't know.
The program has always sucked.
I've never been there. Well, Illinois hadn't been good since Butkus.
Indiana's 1-3 in the Big Ten and 4-3 overall. I mean, yeah, they're fine. No big deal.
Yeah, whatever.
It's all right. Indiana has lost to Michigan State, Ohio State, and Iowa. Really no harm there. No shame.
Hayden Fry's been in Iowa, what, 50 years?
Well, he hadn't been there in a long time. You like Kirk Ferentz?
I meant Kirk Ferentz, same difference. They've had two coaches there for like the past 70 years. How long's Kirk Ferentz been there?
99, 2000.
And he replaced Hayden Fry, right?
Did he?
I don't know.
You're asking me a lot about Iowa that, I mean,
I need to go to an Iowa game.
You're really kind of obsessed with Iowa.
I'd love to go to an Iowa.
He coached from Iowa. Okay, Hayden Fry was at Iowa from 79 to 98.
Okay.
So 20 years.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz.
Has now been there 20 years.
Yeah.
They've had two coaches for 40 years.
That is correct.
Wow.
Not many schools can pass that one along. Can they?
Pretty stable.
Yeah. So.
What's Iowa's record this year? Do you know? I don't even know. I know they're pretty good. They're like 5-2-ish.
Are they?
Isn't that funny? They're 5-2, and everybody's like, hey, look at Iowa. Ole Miss is 5-2. Everybody's like, they suck. It's weird. It is what it is.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
I said it on Saturday night. I still think so much it has to do with just the environment around the entire university.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Typically 5-2, and it doesn't really matter how you get there. It's fine.
Yeah, let me defend some Ole Miss people here. The people that were kind of almost looked like they were cheering for a loss the other night, they're mad at the chancellor, and they're mad at the IHL, and they're mad, and they know that more chaos leads to change. They just want change. And sometimes when you want change, you just want things to burn down.
Yes.
Now, but, the people that are hoping for a Matt Luke firing at the end of this year.
Oh, good grief.
As I wrote the other day, unless Matt has some scandal involving like midgets or aliens or something.
I don't even know that aliens would do
it. I don't even know that aliens would do it. Basically, I mean, it'd have to be really bad.
Is there an organization that's going to start criticizing us for over our use of midgets or dwarfs or something?
Probably, because I'm sure it offends somebody. Well, all I can say is every time someone makes a bald joke, I'm offended. So there.
Yeah, but it's not short. It's not really a medical condition. A midget is technically a midget, like a medical condition.
Well,
right?
Bald is technically a medical condition.
It's not harming you. It's not changing your
life. I don't know about that.
It's not changing your...
Maybe it did.
No one sees you differently because you're bald. Well, that's probably a lie.
That's probably not true.
Yeah. All right.
As I said the other day, when you're bald, no matter how fit you are, how tall you are, how nice you are, how well-dressed you are, any of those things, the first word used to describe you is bald.
So Bruce Willis, bald.
First word used to describe Bruce Willis is, you know, the bald actor. Seriously. No one would immediately, if I said describe Chase Parham, their first word would not be, okay, well, he has sort of a sandy brown hair. It's not, they would not immediately start with your hair.
Michael Jordan, bald.
Yes.
Or is it a little more for white men than black men?
Now, black guys look better bald than white guys
do.
Now, if you're gonna turn that into racism, God, I can't help. Black men, a young black man who is bald can be considered good looking. Mm-hmm. A young white man who is bald is considered bald.
Okay. Now that we've been through that, I'll tell you also, you head on over to Oxford Wine and Spirits. If you're bald, they'll mellow your feelings out a little bit. They can help you accomplish that because you spend $150 or more. You mentioned the podcast, 10% off liquor, 5% off wine. They're already 5% below industry standards as it is. I've got a picture of some of their allocated bourbon that's come in, Eagle Rare, Buffalo Trace. And more. So Oxford Wine and Spirits on College Hill Road next to Lost Pizza. Tell them that we sent you and head on over today to stock up.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons to push. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, meganmphillips.com. That's meganmphillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929.
So, let's see. We got Auburn and Ole Miss on Saturday. What's your anticipation for a Tigers crowd inside of Vaughn Hemingway on Saturday?
A little less than 5,000.
Which would be a very small Auburn crowd relative to past seasons here. Maybe the least since 2012.
Yeah, I would guess
that was a very disgruntled Gene Chizik here.
I would guess that about half of the people who had planned back in August to come to this game will now not come.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I think they would have brought about 10. I think now they'll bring 4,500.
With 1,000 of that maybe being students that are just coming no matter what's going on to party and have a good time.
Coming over because they have a friend who goes to Ole Miss or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Fair. Ole Miss pick it back up a little bit after the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, sure.
Crowd's decent?
Yeah.
Over under 55,000.
Total?
Yeah, total.
Okay, assuming it's not raining.
Yeah, weather's good, whatever.
I'll go over.
Over 55. Okay.
Barely, but over.
I think it would even push 60 were it at 6:30 at night. 11 a.m. is going to change things a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll buy that.
Although, you know what? I've had a lot of people send stuff to me going, hey.
You're not the only one.
I'm team 11 a.m.
Really?
A lot of people say, you know, it's just easier to get up in the morning and get moving, and I get home at a decent hour. Those 6:30 games, you're going to get home till 4 a.m. sometimes. That's brutal. A lot of people just don't want to do that.
Rams moved to 6-0 yesterday, still the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Yeah, because the Chiefs lost to the Patriots.
They won at Denver. I mean, yeah, at Denver yesterday. Jared Goff, not a good quarterback in the snow. By far his worst game of the season. So,
well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say when they play the NFC title game in January, it will not be snowing in L.A.
Oh, you think they're getting home field?
Sure looks like it.
Okay.
Although their game against New Orleans, is it next week?
It's in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm already looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's I think even my brother's getting a little nervous because he knows the Saints have run off a few in a row now to where if L.A. did slip up that week, all of a sudden you'd much rather be in Southern California than the Superdome for the NFC title game if you had to play it, I have a feeling.
The weird game they're talking about right now is the Cowboys beating up on the Jags. The Jags looked so good early, and now they're 3-3. The NFL is just so much parody. Like, I watched Cincinnati and Pittsburgh yesterday. It was a hell of a game.
Mahomes was excellent last night for the Chiefs.
Well, he's really good.
Yeah, you know, you see, you know, got a mouth on him, always never shuts up, and now after two losses in a row, Jalen Ramsey basically acts like an idiot and won't say a word after they lose the game. Bad look for him yesterday.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Nah. If you're going to talk, always talk. There's some that have done that in the past. You can, yeah. You know, show up. Real bad look when you start going all coy and stuff after you lose the game. So, all right, let's see. That's about it with that.
Both playoff series in baseball are tied at one.
They are. Red I watched Sox a good won. Bit of Astros Red Sox last night. I stayed on that one a while.
Yeah, I hadn't watched any of it yet. I've had a hard time watching
it. Still? Really?
Yeah, it's not really emotionally
prepared.
The NL
series is more intriguing to me for some reason. But
yeah, I can't watch that. It's like watching your girlfriend that you're still in love with make out with another guy. It's just not.
Yeah, not only do you know what's happening, but you have to visualize it.
Yeah, now you have to.
You're showing up at the same dinner every same restaurant every night.
Yeah, and they're just like.
They're sitting on the same side of the booth.
Yeah, just rolling around in the booth. Yeah, you don't need to see that. You know it's happening, but you don't need to see it. That kind of thing. So, no, I don't need to watch the Brewers and Dodgers make out.
That was a tough loss. You know, the way they played early, Houston could have taken such a stranglehold in that AL series last night, and you let that one slip away. That's interesting.
Well, both of those teams are really, really good. Neither one's just going to roll over.
Chris Sale admitted to the hospital last night with a stomach illness. I'm sure he'll be fine by the time he has to pitch, but just a little news there for anyone that has some curiosity. The tweet of the weekend that kind of made me laugh a little bit, Virginia beat Miami, and someone tweeted, well, they finally beat somebody with a 16 next to their name. That's pretty good. Kind of cracked up on that one a little bit, but anyway.
Bears choked that game yesterday.
Well, they did, but Miami fumbled on the 1 yard line with no one touching Kenyon Drake. He just dropped the ball.
Yeah, he just dropped
it. And the game's over if he does not just drop the ball.
But then when you have a chance and you drive down the field and you get it to about the 30, 35 yard line, don't stop there. Get 10 more yards. So stupid.
You're getting a little emotionally invested.
A little bit, I'm watching the game going, if I know this, why don't you know this? You're setting up for a 52-yarder?
A couple things there. After a pretty rough first season or so, Laramie Tunzel, excellent against the Bears yesterday at left tackle. Had a really, really good game. Starting to figure that out a little bit, I think. He's had a good season.
Yeah.
Came back from concussion protocol, too. They weren't sure he was going to play yesterday, and he ended up being active and playing well for the Dolphins. And then here's the other one. Rowe put this on Facebook. Romero Miller took Frank Gore on his official guest or whatever on his official visit to Ole Miss. Dude, still running the rock for 100 yards in the NFL.
Frank Gore committed to Ole Miss, was headed to Ole Miss until the morning of National Signing Day when he just had this mysterious change of heart. It happened.
Very much like Devin Gotcha, who wore a navy blue polo to the thing in LSU or in Baton Rouge.
If Frank Gore goes to Ole Miss, that team probably wins a national championship.
Think so.
Look at the games they lost. They would have won all of those games.
Yeah, he was all
right. I'm not knocking whoever they had at running back, but
wasn't Frank Gore.
It wasn't Frank Gore.
But I mean, his body is an athletic marvel. He's taken all these hits over the last 20 seasons.
He's just built like a rock, man. He's just like a rock.
What, 97 yards or whatever it was yesterday?
I know, I watched it.
His kid is being recruited right now, and he's still playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Nothing against Roe and Deuce, but they're not still in the league.
No. I mean, Deuce had a really good NFL career, and there's been tread off those tires for 10 years now.
Yeah, his body couldn't hold up. Yeah. And I'm not making fun. My body didn't hold up to anything. I mean, I was on my way until I got that paper cut, and then it was over.
Yeah, I mean, Neil's struggling through Peloton workouts right now.
So oh, my God. This morning, man, it was brutal.
Did you get a high five? I got virtual high fives.
I got two virtual high fives today.
That really means bad day, doesn't it? If you only get two, are you almost a little depressed when you move on with your day?
So I went running yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time I'd run in a while. And so I got up this morning to do the Peloton. And the instructor, the lovely Emma Lovewell.
Sure. Is she real?
She's a real human being.
She's a robot.
She's a real person.
Animatronic.
Nope. She's real. So real live girl.
You ever seen the movie Her? You should probably check into that.
Never seen that.
Okay.
I might like it.
You would.
I could. Going back, I mean, like, if I were 20 now and you could date one of these robots that's out there, it might be worth looking into.
We really dropped that technology after Rocky IV, in my opinion.
But, I mean, now, I mean, you can, like, get a mail order robot.
Okay.
Come be your significant other. Might be worth it.
Anyway, so you ran?
I ran, and then when Emma was like, get your cadence to 120.
Couldn't get that cadence to 120.
I mean, I got it there, but, man, it was hard. Seriously, it was like, my legs were hurting.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, well,
are you pretty excited about tomorrow? Tomorrow, the start of the NBA season? You pumped?
I did see Oklahoma City plays Golden State.
It's the second game of a doubleheader. Really good. NBA knows what it's doing. They open their season. Philly at Boston.
It's a good game.
And then Thunder at Warriors.
Okay.
Which is always at least a sexy soap opera game.
That's good. No, I won't watch any of it. I'll watch a good bit of baseball playoffs, then whatever else after that. Again, we'll continue making fun of Neil's Peloton situation with Jay Tate later in the week at Funky's. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Plenty of content at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you then.